Up to a Mem Hey and Aleph, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that mitzvah arava kesed. How exactly does one perform the mitzvah of arava? So the Mishnah says, Malkum hayalamata miyushalayim. There's a place that was low down near Yerushalayim. V'nikra mutza. It's called mutza. The Gemara will explain why it's called mutza. And Yordan Lashan, they would go down to this area. Umalakhtin Misham Muravios Shal Arava, they would collect branches of Arava. Uban Vizokfin Osam Batsidim Mizbech, they'd place them along the side of Mizbech. Virashain Kfufin Al Gavi Mizbech, and then the tips, the heads of the Arava would be leaning on top of the Mizbech. They'd be on the ground, and I think I have pictures here. Not that you need pictures, but again, they'd be on the ground and they'd lean over. We'll see exactly where. It's not really.
Is in the back? Is there any perfect?
There must be. I'm not sure if they have them in the back. Actually, I don't know.
They were.
The Gemara was going to explain. It's not really on the floor. It was actually on the yisod, on that little foundation that jutted out. So, but they were leaning on top of the mizbech. And then the Gemara says, "Tiku v'hiru v'tiku." They would blow the shofar. They would do a tekiah. They would do a tru. They would do a tekiah. Now, this is very important, Tosus here. Tosus has one line, or you'd think it doesn't really mean much, but Tosus writes, Tiku v'hiru v'tiku, and they'd blow the shofar, Mishum simcha. It sounds very nice, but what's exactly Tosus adding here? What else would it be doing? So, there's actually Machokas Poskim, whether an Ovel is allowed to be doing the Hakafos on Hoshana Rabbah, even the regular Hoshanas, and Simchas Torah for that matter. So the Sfaradim said that an Avel shouldn't, Ashkenazim Paskim, they shouldn't. The Grub brings a ride from this Tosfos that they should not, since we see that the Truas are Midin Simcha, that tells us the entire Hoshanas are Midin Simcha, and for that reason, a Avel should refrain from being involved in the Hakafos. Okay, and then Mishnah goes on and says, Bechol Yom Makifnes Mizbech Pamachas, every single day they'd go around just one time the Mizbech. Vomrin ana Hashem Hashiana, ana Hashem Hashlichana. They would say those psukim. Yehuda felt that he said something different. Right? Yehuda Omer, ani v'hoshiana. That's what they would say. So it's very Kabbalistic Rashi here. Rashi ani v'ho, three lines down. Rashi writes, I'll read through it, but I'm not going to understand what he's really saying. Ani v'ho is b'gematria ana Hashem. Means ana Hashem. And v'od mishivim v'shtaim shemosein. It's also among the 72 letter name of Hashem. Hanekuvim b'shlosh mikros ha-smuchim b'farsha v'ahi b'shach v'yisa v'gomer v'yevo ben amachna v'yit Moshe es yado. So apparently these psukim, I've seen this elsewhere also, these psukim contain the 72 letter of Hashem. And the 72 letter of Hashem, I'm going to say a little bit what I know, it represents the Midas Chesed of Hashem. And Midas Chesed in Kriyas Yamsuf, that's why these psukim are found by Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf, of course, was Midas Chesed of Hashem. As opposed to the 42 letter name of Hashem, that's Midas Din. So he goes on to explain something pretty deep here, which I'll stop there, and some gematrias and some how to calculate the letters. You can read the rest of Rashi to understand the rest of the name of Hashem. I don't know what he's talking about, though.
There's a whole chart down here. I don't know what
it is. Oh, yeah, how to figure out how to get the name.
Yeah.
Rashi take the first of the first pasuk, and then the letter of the last second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, and then I instead had to sit down and figure this all out. By the way, this somehow has some deep connection to the Shemos of Hashem. Okay, and then Mishnah continues and says, Machlok is exactly what you would say. And then the Mishnah says, V'osa Yom, that very day, which refers to the day of Rava, Yom HaRava, which is day 7, Makifin Es Mizbeach, they would go around the Mizbeach, Sheva Pamim, says, why 7 times? What's the significance? So the Yishami says, it's supposed to be modeled after Yericho, where they went around Yericho 7 times. So why exactly on Sukkot are we celebrating or are we remembering the Nace of Yericho going around the city 7 times and having the walls collapse? So the Yushami explains, because the Iker Simcha of Sukkah is really the whole dose of the Halal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Chasad of all the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and that's why especially Sukkot is connected to Anani HaKavod. Anani HaKavod, they always point out, well, we didn't need the Anani HaKavod. We needed matzah, we needed food, we needed man, we needed that, we needed water. So the bear, maim, and the man, those were two things we couldn't live without. If Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take us out of Mitzrayim, well, he of course has to give us something to live on. Anani HaKavod was something that was added. We didn't need the Anani HaKavod. So that was pure chesed of Hashem, of just adding on to what we didn't really need. So Sukkot is about celebrating chesed. And therefore, That's why I celebrate the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us about the Nisim of Yericho, and that's what Rava represents.
So basically it's only for chesed that it's referred to Yericho, what Hashem did.
That's what the Yishama seems to be saying. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, after you've gone around seven times, B'shas p'tirasan, when finally you're leaving, you're exiting the Mizbeach, you're exiting the Beis HaMikdash on this holiday, Mahi Nomrim, what would they say? They would say, Yofi l'cha Mizbeach, Yofi l'cha Mizbeach, how beautiful you are, the Mizbeach, how beautiful you are. And Rabbi Yelitzar Omer, Lev l'cha Mizbeach, Lev l'cha Mizbeach, to him, to Hashem, and to you, the Mizbeach. They'd be including Hashem and the Mizbeach together. The Gemara is going to address how exactly are you able to say in one praise, praising Hashem and the Mizbeach in the very same sentence doesn't seem to be the proper thing to do. Although Mizbeach is something of Kedushin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to make it, it still doesn't make sense to put them on the same plane of praising them together. And then the Gemara says, K'maseu b'chol, the way they would do things during the week is Kach Maseu b'Shabbos, they do the same exact thing on Shabbos, go around seven times, they'd put the Arava leaning it up against the Mizbeach. Ella, one difference was, Shayu Malaktin Osamber of Shabbos, they would collect all the Arava from before Shabbos, because they can't do coats there on Shabbos itself, so they would do it from beforehand. Umanichin Osan Begigios Shazav, they place them in some gold containers, Kadeshalo Yachmushu, so it shouldn't dry out. So some type of, I assume, there was water in these gold containers to keep them moist. Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Charayel Shal Dekel Hayimuvin, they'd bring some of the palm trees, the lulav trees, V'choftin oso bekarka, and then they would begin hitting them down on the ground. So by the way, this is a raya that, remember we saw yesterday, the Lashon of Chavata, Chavata, Rashi said Nanua, this seems to be going against Rashi, this, you're not going to say Nanua la karka, Choftin bo karka, I assume even Rashi will agree, means to actually hit down on the karka, so it's a bit strange how Rashi, on yesterday's daf, and 2 days ago also, pointed out Chavat meant to shake it as opposed to hit it. So either way, Rabbi Yochanan Broka said you would take a lulav and start beating it down on the ground, on the side of Mizbeach, and it was called the day of beating down the lulavim. Now we don't do that with the lulav, we do that with the aravos. And then miyad right away, or miyad, we'll get to two interpretations of what that means, miyad tinokos, from the hands of the tinokos, or it means right away, from the tinokos, shomtim es lulavim, they take away the lulav, v'ochen es rogeim. So they basically, they would go ahead, look at Rashi, Rashi says, miyad tinokos, shomtim es lulavim, they take them, they grab them away from the little kids, all the lulavim that they were holding. And then Ochlin Esrogim, Rashi says, Shel Tinokos, they'd eat the Esrogim of the younger kids. Vein Bedavar Lo Mishum Gezev, Lo Mishum Darche Shalom, it's not a problem of stealing, it's not a problem of Darche Shalom. The Mishnah Gittin says that although one's permitted to steal from a katam because he has no kinyan, he doesn't really own things, Abishum Darche Shalom, we say not to take things away from a katam. So we have no concern that when it comes to this on Sukkot and Hoshana Rabbah, we say it's not a problem to take from them because Shekach Menagu Machma Simcha. This was the way Simcha was done. Okay? So you see already a heter. This is in light of the Ramah talks about in the end of Hilchas Megillah that a person, any damage that's done during Purim, a person's pater from. Because Midin Simcha, this is the way you do things through Simcha. Now, post can say, still nonetheless, a person should be careful. There might be a difference between Nizke Mammon versus Nizke Guf, whether a person actually damages property versus damaging a person's body. But this is the source that we find that through Simcha, a person's pater from Nezek and Gezo. So you look at Tosos now. Tosos, Dibur Mascha, Miyati Nokos, Shomtin Lulaveim. Tosos writes, he quotes Rashi, if you go down six lines down in Tosos, he quotes all Rashi, Kach Per Shakuntras. Then he adds, V'yesh Lulmod Mikan, one's able to learn from here, Lo'osan Bachrim, those younger men, Shirochvin B'susim L'kras Chosim, they'd go ride horses to greet the Chosim, they joust each other. The korin bigdol shechaver, and they actually rip each other's clothing in doing so. Oh, mekalka lo suzor, they actually injure the horse. Shein pturin, they're parted from this. Shekach nagu machmas simchas chasam. That's what was done, because simchas chasam. Someone was telling me a great activity to take the kids to in Chol Moed. There's some jousting, some like, some gladiator events somewhere in Jersey. Were you telling me this? No, someone else telling me some gladiator, no, Talmud was telling me. In Jersey, there's some place you could go to see like gladiators and play and joust each other and fight and do all these fun things. So I was saying, I'm not sure if it's such a proper thing to go see. Even as entertainment, it's the same thing as like... Kids learn from it. Right, it's like... it's a discussion about going hunting. We say one shouldn't go hunting for sport. just to go and kill animals, killing is a little bit different than just like jousting each other, but like take a kid to like a wrestling match, the WWF. I'm not sure if it's the best thing to do.
No.
But apparently jousting was done as Midin Simcha in those times. Anyways, then the next Tosfos writes, Tosfos rather, the same one, continues to write, V'od Yishlomer, another interpretation of the Mishnah is, Lo Ayri Klal Shehichtefu Magdol Miyadam. It wasn't talking about that they grabbed them from the hands of Tinokos. Rather, what it means is, Ela Miyad Klomer La'alta, right away. Miyad meant, right away, then they would be, they would take the lulav, not steal them. It wasn't Miyad, right away, they would have the lulav, and they would throw them away, and start eating the esrogim, but no stealing was taking place here. So according to this Tosfos, it seems like the second half, there is no heter to injure because of simcha. So that might be a machlokas on whether that's permitted. Okay. It says the Gemara now. Tana, makom klanya hava. So the place where they'd actually get the arava from was called, our Mishnah said mutza, but the Gemara is really telling us it was called Klanya. Okay, if it's called Klanya, Gemara asks, Tana didan my time akari le mutza. Why did our Mishnah refer to it as mutza, a different name? So Gemara says, because I did the mific mikraga de malka kari le mutza. Since this area was exempt from paying any taxes, Rashi explains, mific mikraga means taxes, and de malka, the taxes of the king. It's called mutza. Mutza, I think, means lashon of being exited, being freed. You're free from any of the taxes. So that's why our Mishnah referred to it as mutza, though in fact the name is really called Klanya. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Barn Vazokvinos of Tzidei Mizbech. They would take the long aravos trees, and then they would place them alongside the Mizbech. I know there's someone in my shul growing up that used to have these really, really tall aravos. So I wonder if there's an inyan based on the way it was in the Mishnah. I wonder, even though we don't have a Mizbech anymore, I wonder if there's an inyan to have such long, such tall aravos. He doesn't lose anything. You could have as long as you want, as long as it's big enough. But I wonder if there's such an inyan to have it as long as they used to have it as high, as tall as it used to be in the base of Migdash.
You said yesterday that you need to have Gimel Badei Alilach and Kol Nachin. Is that for your personal aravos, or would that also apply for the...
That was talking about for the arava. We paskin five, though. We have five. I think it was P. Kabbalah. We do five, if I remember correctly, from the poskim. But five is what we do, yeah.
But that's talking about the aravos that were placed. Right.
We had the mission later on, earlier, on like Lamed Beis or Lamed Gimel, which told us the aravos that we have on our Hadalaminim is only two. Arve Nachal. Arve implying two. Okay, so the Gemara explains now, Tana... The Pasuk says, Rabo, not Pasuk, it just, does there, no, it's just, that's how it goes to Ranchberg. So the Brisa says, Rabos varuchos vigvos echasar ama. Now, I'm not sure why these adjectives are repeated. The Rabos, they're big, aruchos, they're long, vos, they're tall. There just seems to be three different ways of describing that they're supposed to be long. Echasar ama, they're supposed to be 11 amos high. Kedei sheyehud gochos al mizbech ama, this way it can lean onto mizbech, one ama. So the Gemara is going to do a calculation. So Amar Mareimar, Mishim Mar Zutra, Shema Amina, we learn from here, Al Yesod Manachla, is supposed to be placed on the Yesod, like I showed you in the picture, not on the actual ground, but on the Yesod, that little thing that jets out. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. If it's on the ground, the math doesn't work out. Because Dishaka Daitach Arab Manachlahu, if you thought to place it on the actual ground, Michli, let's go through the calculation. Ola Amma, first it goes up an Amma, that's the Yesod, and Vakanos Amma, then it goes in. That's two amos. Then Zel Yisod. Olochamish, it goes up five. That gives us a total of seven. The Karnas Amma goes in one. That's eight. Then Zel Sovev. That's the thing that goes around the Mizbech on the higher up. And then Shalosh. Then it goes up. Olochamish, Shalosh, it goes up another three. That gives us, what, 11 now. Zel Makom HaKronos. That's where the corners were. So then Gochos Agav Mizbech. Heichim Mishrachis. How will it lean over? So if you do right from the ground, and if it's only 11 amos high, it's going to be touching the tip of the Mizbech, but won't be leaning onto the Mizbech. So then what do they do? Elav Shmamina, we must see from here that Ayisod Menachlu, it was placed on the Yisod, so it's one amma up higher, and then it had enough, an extra amma to be hanging over the top of the Mizbech. That's why the picture was like that. So Amma Rabbi Yebohu, Mikra, what's the Pasuk? What's a pasuk that you Rashi says two lines from the bottom? Ma'ikra de olos lemala min hamizbech, that it's supposed to go above the mizbech and lean over. What's the source for this? The Gemara says, Ma'ikra shenemar isu chag bavosim akarnas mizbech the Isu Chag, so Rashi explains, Isu is Chag Bavosim. Bavosim are referring to the trees, and Isu means Lashon HaKafa, that the Mizbech is supposed to be surrounded, Isu, with Avosim on the Chag. Chag means Sukkos. On Sukkos, you're supposed to put the Isu surround with Avosos, with trees, ad karnas Mizbech, until the corners of Mizbech. That tells me that that's why they're supposed to be so tall. Amar Rabbi Yubohu, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Anote Lulav, Bagudo, V'Hadas, Bavoso. Anybody who takes a lulav in the eged along with the hadasim, malav akasav, the kasav considers it as if ki'ilu bana mizbeach v'ikrival of carbon. The pasuk considers it as if he built a mizbeach and they're makiv a carbon on it. Shenemar isu chag bavosim ar karnas hamizbeach. So isu means lashon of circle, but in this case, it's saying isu here means aguda shel lulav. Rashi says if you take the aguda of avosas of different trees on chag ad karnas mizbeach, it's as if you actually were makiv on the mizbeach of carbon. So this is, to me, this is a very, first time realizing this from learning the Gemara and Sukkah a few times, that I've pointed out a few times that Dal Minim is really much like a carbon. We have a number of rye's I brought that's like a carbon. You may not have been here when I discussed this a few times, but in terms of one example that always sticks out is, how dry does a lulav have to be? When is it possible? When a lulav is so dry, it's possible. What's the shear of yevashis? So Tosas gives a number of different approaches, and his conclusion is, it's based on the yevashis of a bechora animal, an animal that's a bechora. However dry an ear of an animal is to make it disqualified, that's how dry the lulav has to be. So the question is, what does the dry ear of a bechora have to do with the dry lulav? The connection is, because even lulav is kind of like a carbon. And there are a number of different rye's that point out to that fact. Another one is, we saw that...
there were a lot of comparisons.
Exactly. So, and carbonyl. So once you're like sensitive to that, you start seeing it all come together. So what was the other one? They brought a pasuk, Hikru Nalf Chasecha. The Ba'amor says, what's the reason why Yevashis is possible? Because he brings a source, Hikru Nalf Chasecha, which is a source that when you bring a carbon, you're not supposed to have a Baal Mum to it. So the number of rye. So this also, this seems to be, makes a lot of sense. That the fact that the Gemara here quotes in the pasuk that says, the Dal Minim is as if you brought a carbon, this seems to be a great, great source for that idea. Okay. The Gemara says now, another explanation of what the Pasuk Isu Chag teaches us. Rashi, Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Yirmiya, Mishum Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai, Rebbe Yochanan, Mishum Rebbe Shimon HaMechuzi. What would they say? Mishum Rebbe Yochanan HaMechuzi. What would they all say? Kol HaOse Isser L'Chag, anybody makes an Isser L'Chag, which Rashi explains means an Agud L'Chag, connecting the Chag, that is, Be'achila u'shesia, with eating and with drinking, mala lavakasev, the pasuk considers it as if ki'ilu bana mizbeach v'hikruv alav, carbon as if you were brought a carbon on mizbeach, shenemar isu chag bavosim, if you, again, extend the chag with avosim, which they're interpreting what avosim here means, Rashi says, behemos avos u'shmenos, fat animals, and fat and oily, I guess, animals, Shinemar, it's Yuchag Bavosim ad Karnas Mizbech, it's considered as if you were makiv a carbon.
What's the word Isur, where does it come from?
Like we say, Lesor, we say in Pesuk de Zimra.
Lesor Machim Bezikim.
Yeah, exactly. So, Lesor Machim Bezikim means to bind up, to put in chains. So lesser means to an eged, to
also
combine.
It also comes from right.
Right. So before we meant, earlier, Rashi said that Isser, the first time, meant to surround, which is, again, similar to binding up, to bound somebody up, but lesser meant to surround, that's why it meant, so different, all pretty similar. So the source of this this halach of Isser Chag, by the way, so the if you look at the Ein Mishpat, he quotes it from the Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, Simen Taf Chaf Tes. What's Taf Chaf Tes? Anybody started their Mishnah Berurah Yomi on Shushan Purim, those are makbid to start Shlosh Yom Kod Machag. You're supposed to start doing Hilchas Pesach 30 days prior. What's the first Simen of Hilchas Pesach? Simen Taf Chaf Tes. It's very strange. So the Ramah quotes this halacha of Isser Chag in the very first halacha of Hilchas Pesach. Makes absolutely no sense. I don't mean to say that in a mean way. But the Ramah, the proper place to put Isser Chag should have been after Hilchas Pesach. Why is he introducing Hilchas Pesach with Isser Chag? So there's a whole idea, but I think the idea is that oftentimes you start for the big high with Pesach, and by the time the matzah, you're sick of the matzah, you want to get it over with, and the Isuchag adds another day to it. So the point is, he's trying to tell you that the Isuchag at the end should be as strong as it is in the beginning. Just like you have that same high, the same excitement the first day, you should try to maintain that same level of excitement even to the end. So he brings it to the beginning as well to kind of bridge the beginning and the end together. To bridge together the beginning and the end. So then the Gemara continues and says, Amr Chizki, Amr B'Yirmiya, Mishimon ben Yochai. Kol ha-mitzvos kulan, all mitzvos, ein adam yotzi behen, ela derech dilasam. You only yotzi the mitzvah if you use the, anytime you're using a vegetable or fruit or anything that goes from the ground, you're supposed to use it the way it grows, not put it upside down. Shenemar ate shitim omdim is talking about the Mishkan, that the beams that they would use, they would omdim. They would use them in the way it grew. Omdim, the way it stood when it grew, that's the way they would put it part of the Mishkan. And the Gemara says, furthermore, Tani Nami Hachvi, the Brisa that says the same idea, Ate Shitim Omdim, what does that mean? She Omdim Derech Gdilasan, that you would stand them up the way it grows. Davar Acher, another interpretation of this pasuk means Omdim Shema Midin Es Tzipuyim, that they would hold on to the, you have to nail in the gold plating. So they used to have, in the Mishkan there was wood, and the wood was gold plated. So Rashi explains they had to take golden nails and have to be mamming them into the wood. Not enough to simply cover it, you have to be mamming it, you have to strengthen it and fasten it into the wood itself. Completely different interpretation than what we're referring to. And Davar Acher, yet there's a third interpretation of what the pasuk of Atzei Shitim Omdim means. The third interpretation it says that Omdim, you have to stand them up, Shema Tomer Avid Sivram Ubato Sichuyim. So, one might think after the Mishkan was put into Geniza, Rashi says, one might think it loses its status of Kedusha entirely. Tamalomer Atse Shitim Omdim Sheomdim Leolam Ulolme Olamim, that these wood beams retained its Kedusha forever. Even after Geniza, even after we didn't need these walls of the Mishkan anymore, it always omed and always had its Kedusha. So if anybody ever, I guess, comes across them and finds these beams, they still have a Kedusha to them. So the halacha Rashi is very strange. Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol ha-mitzvos kulan. All mitzvos, you're supposed to take them derech gedilasam. What do you mean all mitzvos? Well, which mitzvos are we talking about? They're supposed to take them derech gedilasam. So you see here also, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha in Hilchos Sukkah, because when it talks about dalaminim, you're supposed to hold them upright. That's Tosis pointed out, you hold it upside down, that's why you get the whole problem when you do overly sasam. You're supposed to hold it esrog upside down to the bracha, then turn the right side up, because the halacha he quoted from here, derech dilasam. What do you mean, kol mitzvos though? It's referring to, are there any other mitzvahs beyond dalaminim that you're supposed to have them derech dilasam?
Maybe shofar, that you shouldn't have it turned upside down like that. It should be the tohor.
That's not derech dilasam though, because it grows really that way. It happens to, the other way, it should really be the other way around. You should be blowing it downwards.
A rava also, I guess,
when you hold the rava, you should be holding, I guess, also the right way. So they quote here a few other applications of it. The Shiboli Haleket writes, he found that in the Shem B'Shem Rabbeinu Klonimos Zetzal, that if a person is using trees as walls of a sukkah, he has to have them derech gdilasan. I'm not sure what that means exactly. I guess if you have wood walls and you knew how it grew, you're supposed to leave it the way it grows up. I don't know. He says it's not ma'ake, but that's what he quotes. And then he quotes from the Yuchsei Tanaim V'Amarayim that when you hold the besamim up, also in Motzei Shabbos, you're supposed to take them derech gdilasan. So for us, I guess if you're using hadassim, for example, which is actually the mechaber advises a person to use hadassim beit api kabbalah, and also I guess api nigla as well. The mechaber writes you're supposed to have hadassim from Motzei Shabbos. The reason is that they say once you use hadassim for one mitzvah of dalaminim, you should use them for another mitzvah of besamim. Api kabbalah, this connection of hadassim and purim and in the sense of smell and havdalah and whatnot. So either way, when you take hadassim, you're supposed to, according to this, hold them up straight when saying the bracha. Now, we use usually those little samim spices, whatever they're called. You can't hold them. I don't know how they grow. I don't even know what they are. But I guess that would be another example of this. Okay. Says the Gemara now further, Amar Chizkiah, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Recording a bunch of statements now in the name of Chizkiah, who quotes from Rabbi Yirmiyah, who quotes from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What did he say? Yachol ani liftor es kol alam kula. I could exempt the entire world min hadin. I could, you know, the world is worthy of din and judgment, but I could free them of this miyom shenivresi from the day I was created arata up until now. Because of all the zechuyos that he had, he was able to, during his lifetime, he's able to protect the entire world during his lifetime, from when he was created until he died, or until now when he made this statement. Vilmali Eliezer bini imi, and had Eliezer my son been with me, miyom shenivra ha'olam ad achshav, we could protect the entire world from the day the world was created up until now. Vilmali Yosem ben Uzayu imanu, and had Yosem been with us as well, miyom shenivra ha'olam ad sofo, and then up until the end of the world, we, the three of us together, with all the zechuyos that we have, are able to protect the entire world from the beginning to the end. A very interesting statement here. So the Gemara explains that Yosem ben Uzayu, I guess, he at least was a tzaddik, and he was a big anav, more than any other of the kings. So because of the great anivus that these three men had, which again is always a strange statement, you find a few places in Shas where an anav, person through the anivus, talks about the great anivus that he had, he was worthy for certain things. Like the Gemara at the end of Soda talks about Mishemes Rebbe batal anava, and Rebbe died, and the Amora says, what do you mean, I'm still around?
Right.
So you have a few times just aware of just reality.
Right, and even is not thinking one is less, it's just knowing everything.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Right, certainly, how could you be the leader of Klai Yisrael and just be like an edel person, like a real humble and edel? You can't be like that.
No.
So you could be still a leader and know who you are, but still a nevus. The closer you get to Hashem, the more nevus you have. You realize how little you are.
Right.
Okay. Now yet another statement in the name of Amar Chizkiah, Amar B'Yirmiyah, B'Shim R'B'Shim B'Yochai, Ra'isi B'nei Aliyah, V'Hinem Mu'atam. I saw B'nei Aliyah, which Rashi says means, does he say what they mean? No, okay. Rashi says, Ra'isi B'nei Aliyah, V'Hinem Mu'atam. Right, that's Rashi, exactly. Tzadikim. I said Tzadikim, who, whatever that means, they were Mekabel B'nei Ashkina, and they're just very few, Hinem Mu'atam, very few were able to reach such a level. Im elf hain, if there were 1,000 of them, aniu b'ni mehen, me and my son were among them. Mishim B'Yochai said, well, you know, Mishim B'Yochai wasn't just Stam. Now but again, he knew who he was. He and his son were quite powerful. The Gemara and Shabbos talk about when they came out of the caves and what they did, and they couldn't, you know, harness all their powers and burning things left and right. So anyways, if there were 1,000, me and my son were among them. Im me'ahem, if there are only 100, Ani ubni mehen, me and my son are among them. V'im shnayim hin, if they're just two, then ani ubni hein. We are the, me and my son are the only two who would fit into that category. So, mizuchi kalehai is such a small number that so little people were able to be makabel p'nei ashchina. V'hamer Rava, didn't Rava say, tamne sari alfei dara hava, the kami kutcher baruch hu. There are 18,000 generations of tzaddikim who would go in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. I guess it's talking about up in Shemaim after they've died. Shenamar Saviv Shmon Asar Elaf, he was surrounded by 18,000 neshamos of tzaddikim. They were makabel p'nei ashchina. So it wasn't just 1,000 at most, it was 18,000. So Gemara says, Lokashya ha de mistakli bas baklaria hamira ha de lo mistakli bas asbaklaria hamira. It's a machlokas here. So Rashi explains, what's an asbaklaria? Rashi says, Mechita shechotet is b'neim l'shchina. So there are different levels. So some are able to see a direct image of Hashem, whatever that means, of the Shekhinah. And there are others who were not able to. So the ones who were able to see directly, that was the few that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was referring to. Then the 18,000 were the ones who were able to mekabel p'nei Shekhinah, but didn't have a full, clear vision. They had somewhat of a blurry vision through this mirror of some sort. They were able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the difference. Very deep Gemara here. This is, we'll just read it, take it at face value. Gemara says further, "Ud mistakle bas baklaria hamira mizutri kolei hai." Was it so little? It's so little. Okay, why 18,000 seems like a lot to me, though, right?
Those who are mistakel, I think, are the ones who are on the higher level.
Okay. So So the ones in the higher level, they're the ones who are able to see through. The ones who couldn't see through anything, they had... Okay, so seeing through is actually a clear image and then not seeing through. So the ones who were able to see through the Aspaklaria was a higher level, that was few. That was just simply perhaps only two, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. So was that really so little? There's no less than the Laman Vav Tzadikim, as they call them. There are no less than 36 people every single day who are Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Shenemar Ashrei Kol Chochei Lo. Praiseworthy are those who are Chochei Lo. What do they interpret as Chochei? Rashi says, Hamachkim, the Katshu Kaminu Lo. Hamachkim, that they become wiser. That I guess it's a reference to being Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Lo, Gematria of Laman Vav Gematria, Tlasin Vishisa Havu. It's 36. So based on this pasuk, Rava learned that 36 people every single day were Mekabel Pnei Shechina. So it wasn't just simply Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. There were 36 people every single day. So Gemara says, no, there's yet a different level. Had the ayil bebar, had the ayil belobar. And one was able to go brishus, and one was able to go even without brishus. So we have three levels now. There's one level of those who couldn't see at all. There's very blurry vision. Those who could see through the aspaklaria. And even those who saw through the aspaklaria, those who were higher level were able to go whenever they wanted without rishus. And then there's a lower level than that in the middle, which are able to see through the aspaklaria, but only when they're granted permission were they able to see through it. And those are all different levels of the various tzaddikim we have. What this means, I don't know, but this is a Gemara. Gemara quotes now from the middle of the Mishnah on Amun Aleph, Bishas Pthirasan Mahin Omrim. When they would be exiting from the Mizbeach, from the Beis HaMikdash, there's machlokas what exactly they would say. So one opinion says, V'lei v'lecha, what's the exact lesson here? Lei v'lecha, Rabbi Eliezer held, Lei v'lecha Mizbeach, Lei v'lecha Mizbeach, to him, to Hashem, and to you, the Mizbeach. The Gemara has a problem with this language of praise. Aren't you including in the very same sentence, the very same praise, you're including Hashem and something else, in this case, the Mizbech, and that's not allowed to be done, because, as the Gemara says, V'tanya, Brisa says, Kol ha-meshatef shem shemayim v'davar acher, nekar min olam. Anybody who includes Hashem and something else and praising something else alongside Hashem, that's a person who's going to be uprooted from the world, Shemar, bilti la-Hashem levado, nothing beyond Hashem. So once you're praising Hashem, it's... You can't include anything else, even though it's Hashem's commandment, the Mizbeach. You can't include anything else when praising Hashem. So how could the Mishnah say to do that? And Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar. This is what he meant to say when exiting from the Beis HaMikdash. Anachnu modim, we are being moda. Sorry, Hachi Kamar. Le, anachnu modim. To him, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we are moda. We are thanking or admitting to Hashem's existence. Ulecha, and to you, the Mizbeach, Anu Meshabchin Le, we are praising the Mizbeach, what a beautiful thing this is. And then, Le, Anachnu Modim, Lecha, Anu Mekalsin. Same Lashon, Mekalsin, Meshabchin, that seems to be two interchangeable words. But to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we mold the Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God, and that the Mizbeach is, we're praising the beautiful Mizbeach. So the Achronim want to understand why in the Sukkot Dafka is the Mizbeach such a central theme here? The Rava Dafka and Sukkot. We spoke about why they're Rava seven times, Ki Rucho and Midas Chesed. But why the Mizbeach? So one of the answers given is because the Mizbeach was, as opposed to Pesach, the Mizbeach was so busy with all the Karbanos, so the Pariachag, all the cows they bring. Bring 70 cows throughout all Sukkot. So it was a very, very busy time of Mizbeach. So Mizbeach is a very central theme of Sukkot. Karbanos is a very central theme of Sukkot. All the Nisach HaMayim we pour in the Mizbeach. Pesach has very little to do with the Mizbeach. There's one carbon brought in day one, and the same carbon lasts throughout the same. Nothing changes. So Mizbeach is not a very central theme of Pesach. So the Sukkot, it is. Okay. Gemara says, now, Kemaaseh b'chol, so the whatever was done during the week, that's the same thing they did on Shabbos. The only difference was that they would cut down the branches from before Shabbos and place them in these golden containers to keep them moist for the use on Shabbos itself. So Amar Rav Huna, my time with Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. What was the reason of Yochanan ben Brocha? What did he say? Yochanan ben Brocha told us that you take the lulav and start beating them down on the side, on the ground, next to the Mizbeach. So he says, the pasuk says, sorry?
No, I think it's that we bring the Anfei Dekel. Mechan hu lomed shemevim Anfei Dekel.
The fact that you bring them, not even talking about hitting them, just right. Simply bring them. So where do you get that lulav has any relevance? Arava, we have a halach mosh mesinai. Or perhaps you have the pasuk of Arvei Nachal, according to Abashel, Arvei Nachal meant two aravos, arava of the lulav and arava of arava itself. But where do you find the concept that lulav has any role in the mitzvah of arava? Okay. So The Gemara says, Dechse, the Pasuk says, Kapos Tamarim, Kapos. Kapos means Shnaim, two. Achas Lulav, Achas L'Mizbech. So there you go. That's the source, according to Yochum and Broka, that Lulav does play a role in the mitzvah of Arava, or the mitzvah of Mizbech. Rabbanan Amre, Kapos, Ksiv, it's written Kapos, without the Vav. So it sounds like singular, there's just one. Rabbi Levi Omer, Kitamar, just like a date. Ma Tamar ze ein lo ela lev echad, af Yisrael ein lehem ela lev echad, lavim shebashamayim. So Rabbi Levi, Rashi explains that Rabbi Levi Omer Kitamar, Taima Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, la mikra nafik, ela svara, shu simen yafa le kilusan shel Yisrael. So he's saying, it's not based on a pasuk, Rabbi Levi. He's not making, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan's not making a drasha from the word kapos, because the word really is written as kapas, you can't make a drasha. He's just saying a svara, that a tamar represents the lev, a kapos tamar represents a lev, so it's very appropriate to have the lulav, which reminds us of a date, and the date has a lev, that our lev is just in one place, namely dedicated to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now this seems to go against a well-known medrash, that they talk about the dal minim are corresponding to four different parts of the body. The hadassim are the eyes, the ravos are the lips, the lulav is the spine, and the lulav, the esog is the lev. This sounds like kapos, that the lulav is more connected to the lev, while we hold according to the medrash, the esog is more connected to the lev. Just pointing it out. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lulav shiva. Yeah, we should do this, right? We have time for this. Let's go on to... Okay, this goes into the next stuff, but I think we could do this. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lulav Shiva V'Sukkah Yom Echad. So Lulav is 7 days. Rashi explains Sukkah in terms of Shiva L'Bracha. No, I'm sorry. This is... Okay, so according to this opinion, you say a bracha on lulav 7 days. 7 days? Only one day. Right, so what's the reasoning? My time. Lulav dimafsiku leilos miyamim kol yom mitzvah ba'afi nafshehu. So since lulav is interrupted each night, you can't do the mitzvah. So each day it's renewed the mitzvah. It's viewed as 7 independent mitzvahs and requires 7 separate brachos. Sukkah de lo mafsiku leilos. What comes to sukkah, it's not interrupted. There's a mitzvah to eat and sleep at night time as well. It's a one continuous mitzvah. Again, the lo mafsiku leilos miyamim kula shiva kechad yuma. It's viewed as one long day. Yom aricha, one long day. This reminds us of Shnei Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara also uses such a lashon of one long day. The 2 days are really viewed as one 48-hour day. Kechad yom aricha damu. That's according to the first opinion of Shmuel. Rabba bar barchana amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah Shiva Lulav Yom Echad. He says the opposite. Sukkah is actually 7 separate days, and Lulav is 1 day. My time, and what's his reasoning? Sukkah Daraisa Shiva Lulav. So Sukkah Daraisa Shiva. Sukkah Midaraisa, even nowadays, there's a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah all 7 days, so it's 7 separate mitzvahs. Lulav Darabanan, it's only Darabanan, Sagi Debechad Yom. It's enough to just simply have it 1 day. Rashi explains what that means is Lulav Yom Echad, Vafa Pishanita Kol Shiva, even though Lamaisa, we actually take it all 7 days, the Dal Minim. That's only as Eichel Mikdash explains Rashi. Ein Mevarchen Bo, El Yom Rishon Shub Min HaTor. We only therefore say the Bracha on day one, because that's only Deraisa B'Gvulin.
But Sukkah is also Midaraisa only the first day.
7 days.
Sukkah is Midaraisa all 7 days.
Yeah. So Shivas Yom and Teshuva
Sukkah. So why do we say that only like the first night, if it rains, you're supposed to get...
So that's an added, on top of the mitzvah, there's an added thing, Tesvav, that we have a special Chumrah on day one, but there still is a mitzvah 7 days.
Midaraisa 7 days.
7 days, exactly.
It's a kiyam all 7 days, or I shouldn't just say it's a kiyam, because it's a chiv, you can't eat outside the sukkah, but it's not a chiv in the sense that you have to have eaten in the sukkah.
Correct.
Right, the first day you have to eat, the other 6 days you can restrain from eating.
Right, if you wanted.
If you wanted, and then you don't have to be there.
But
yes, you still have to sleep there.
Right, exactly, but unless you don't sleep.
Unless you don't sleep.
Right. But Dalit, but it comes to the lulav, there's no kiyam at all, midaraisa beyond day one. But then the Gemara says, and this is how we paskin, he also Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Both when it comes to sukkah and lulav is shiva. We make 7 brachas each day. It's a separate bracha. And Amar Rav Yosef nakut dirabba barchana biyadcha tekula amroi kaima kvasa besukkah. Hold this in your hand. We paskin this way. In other words, because all Amorim follow him in regards to Sukkah, that we say a separate bracha on each day of the Sukkah, and we also paskin that if it comes to Lulav, you say a separate bracha on each day of Sukkahs. May as well do this toast on the bottom here. We still have a few minutes. Tosas writes, Echad Zev Echad Zev Shiva, the very last Tosas on the page. He says, Ein Sukkah Lululav Shavin Lebracha. They're not equal. The Alulav Ein Mevar El Pamachas Biyom. You only say once and then that's it. Aval Sukkah Kolayim Asinich Naslok Kadesh Yerachov Yishtav Yishin Af Filu Aser Pamim Biyom Mevar Akolachas Veachas. Each time you go in and out of the Sukkah, you're supposed to say, Nubracha, Midei Dehava Tfilin, just like Tfilin. Because Man Shemanichin, every time you place the Tfilin on, you say a Bracha. You take it off and put it back on, you say Nubracha. My new time of the Sukkah, this is the reasoning of Sukkah. The Misrame le Sudasa left Shalamecha al Chutz Sukkah. You can't eat the Suda outside the Sukkah. Af Pishak Far Achal, even though you already ate Bo Bayom, the Sukkah, each is a new Chiv is created. Tos doesn't really explain so much, but the Chain Tfilin Kol Yom, Mitzvasan Shehu Bunachin Barosha Bezoro, it's supposed to be on your head and your arms. Avalulav Einik, Mitzvasa El Pamachas Bayom, the Mitzvah is only one time, Mid Agbe Nafik Be. As opposed to the other mitzvahs, each time there's a new meal, there's a new something, it's a new chiyuv. It continues to renew itself each time you perform it. When it comes to lulav, you yotzei just one time, and that's the only chiyuv. Okay. All right, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow's a very good daf, actually. Shechianu and...